This morning, as we close on the healing word, it is powerful. I want you to understand what God has entrusted to us in giving us His word in print. This was not there many thousands of years ago. It was simply passed on through rote and memory. People would have to memorize the Word of God to know the Word of God. But today we have the Word of God on iPads, iPhones, Androids, Bandroids, whatever it is, you can find a version of God's Bible somewhere. And so it is so accessible to us. But how much of that Word is within us is another question. And that is one that you have to answer for yourself. So the healing Word, let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word that is powerful, that is sharper than a two-edged sword that cuts right through into the very heart of man. I pray and ask today that you would speak to each one of us and that you would help us to realign our thinking in keeping with your word, and we will walk in healed wholeness right through our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. There is power in the Word of God and in the spoken Word of God. It is the Word of God that heals, and it is the work of God to heal. So it's the Word of God that heals, and it is the work of God to heal. Miraculously and supernaturally, death-defying, scientifically mystifying, it was so easy when I wrote it, and logically defying. That is how God heals. Isn't that great? And Psalm 107 verse 20 says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. I don't know if any of you have ever at any point experienced traumatic sickness or a sickness that is persistent and consistent and in some way hinders you from just enjoying life. It destroys every aspect of your life. It takes away the joy of living life like God would want you to. And for many of us would at some point experience that. But we need to understand that health is part of our portion in Christ. Sickness does not come from God. Sickness is a result of sin and the fall of man. It comes from the pit of hell. And any sickness that you and I carry in our bodies is not God-given. Let's establish that. It is not God-given. He did not create sickness. Sickness and death came as a result of sin. Now we know that Jesus on the cross took away all our sin. And in taking away our sin, He took away our sickness and anything that is attached to sin. We saw that last week. And so we understand here as we look at the Word of God, we learned, remember, that Jesus is the living Word of God. And so it's not just about words on print in some language or translation, but when we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, Christ dwells within us, within you. And the living Word is within you. God's Word in your mouth can heal you. And so we need to understand that healing and every and any kind of sickness for every one of us, there is healing available through and by faith in God and what He has said in His Word. The Bible also reminds us that the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It talks about it being active, and it talks about it not just being passive but active. It is constantly working in our lives. So the question is this: if God is a God who heals, if the Word of God is the Word that brings life and Jesus dwells within us, why then is there sickness? Why is it that we need to go to God for healing when He has already made provision for us to be healed and to live in a place of wholeness? We will answer those questions as we go through. But I want to go to the story of Jesus and the centurion. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 13 to 17. And it says, And Jesus said to the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. I'm speaking a completely different language. Okay, and Jesus said, I'll paraphrase this for you, okay? It's my translation. So Jesus said to the centurion, Go your way, and as you have believed, so it will be. Here was a centurion who had a very, very sick servant at home. And he encountered Jesus. And he asked Jesus if Jesus could come to his home and heal his servant. And Jesus said to him these words. He said, "Go home and your servant will be healed." Jesus did not ask for the servant to come to him. Jesus did not go to the servant. Neither did he give the centurion something to take home to put on the servant to be healed. But what did he do? He sent forth his word and the servant was healed. Now it's very interesting. Not everyone can be healed that way, but there's something about the centurion that brought healing into his servant's life. The centurion was somebody who understood authority. He understood command and the exercise of authority. And so when Jesus said to him, as a spiritual leader said to him, "Listen, you go home and your servant will be healed," he believed what Jesus said. Because he believed what Jesus said and he went home, he acted on what he believed his servant was. There's another story that follows in the very same chapter. And when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And we see him doing something different. And he touched her hand and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. In other words, she cooked for them. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. Everybody say, with his word. And he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of Esaias the prophet, saying, "Himself took your infirmities and bore all your sicknesses." So we see three different pictures of healing and deliverance in people's life. And predominantly we see that Jesus healed people not by touching them, not by embracing them or in some way ministering to them through contact. He healed by speaking his word. Come on. God's word in his mouth healed the sick. God's word in your mouth can heal you. There is too much of a dependency upon us to go to healing meetings to receive healing. It's because we don't know and understand the Word of God. I'm not saying it is wrong to ask somebody to pray for you. I'm not suggesting it is wrong to have pastoral support and counseling to help you through difficulties. But your starting point, your foundation must be God Himself. Even if you go to somebody who has the gift of healing, they do not heal you. It is Christ who heals through them. But I want to raise the bar and the standard to another level, and I want you to understand as a child of God that Jesus who dwells within you is the same Jesus who spoke to the centurion and said, "Go home, your servant will be well." Jesus is the same one who spoke to the demonized and they were set free. He was the same one that spoke to people who were sick and they were made well. And so for us, within us, we carry something of not just the presence of God, but the power of God that is active and working in our lives. But how do we unlock that? There are countless stories of lives healed, miraculous deliverance from sicknesses. I'm sure if I asked any of you here, each of you could tell me of a time and moment where God healed you. And we want to hear those stories. But Jesus is still in the business of healing you today. Typically, we see that Jesus, he spoke the word. The authority of God and the people were healed. They only needed to believe in him. So it's not just a matter of speaking the word, but it is also required for us to believe what we have just spoken. So many of us read the Bible, maybe hear the word of God, but it does not become active or is not activated until we believe. Everybody say, "I need to believe the word of God." The miraculous is God's way of getting people's attention. Healing is a work of the grace of God through forgiven sinners who are now glorious saints. For the centurion, a man who understood the authority, he only asked Jesus to say the word, and he knew that his servant would be healed. It's amazing that beautiful picture that we see there. The power of healing, the person of Jesus and his word. We learned that the person of Jesus and the word of God are inseparable. They're not two separate things. Jesus is the word of God, and he was the word of God in flesh on the earth. And the word of God is who? Jesus. Today, Jesus can work through you and me to bring healing to people. But we must obviously begin by that in our own life. The authority and the integrity of his word is what heals. His word is infallible. Jesus' word never lies. His word always speaks the truth. And so when we are faced with things that counter the truth, how do we reconcile that? The power and the source of healing is always Christ. It is never a human being, the gift of the person. Thing that brings healing is always Jesus. There is no other healing other than through Jesus. And so if Christ is in you, the Bible says, I can do all things. All things is what? What does all things suggest? All things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God within me. So when I am sick, where should I be going first? To the Word, to Jesus. But unless I know Him, unless I know the Word, there is not much I can speak. What's the first thing we do when we're sick? Oh God, I'm so sick. What's the words that pop out? Let's be real. Come on, guys. It's it's not wrong to rest. Rest heals. It's not wrong. It's a good thing to do. But depending on your sickness, you're either telling the whole world how sick you are. Everybody, it's such a horrible day today. I'm feeling so ill. Okay, we need to establish facts. You're ill. But just continually saying you're ill is that speaking the word of God. Faith does not ignore the facts. Faith supersedes the facts. I'm sick, I am so sick, but I know Jesus can heal me. Amen. I'm going to believe God to bring healing into my life. It does not, I'm not sick at all. I won't take any medication, I won't see it. I'm just going to believe. No, you just might kill yourself doing that. Nowhere in the Bible does it say it is a sin to go see a doctor. Nowhere in the Bible does it suggest it's sin to take medication. I mean, if it was sin, why in heavens did God give them such creativity to do such ingenious work with medication? My life is a walking testimony of the grace of God, the healing power of God, and the miracle of modern day medicine. The things I do today are because of the injections that I take weekly that sustain my mobility. So much so that I could walk the Great Wall of China. Well, a little bit of it. In all my life, I have never walked so much so painfully. And I will never ever do that again. You should have seen me yesterday. I crawled all the way home. But we did what we wanted to do. But I did that because of the grace of God. I did that because of sheer determination. I did that because I know God is healing me. I did that because I know modern medication is working within me. Amen. You're with me? We are not independent of anything. God works in strange and mysterious ways. So how can we experience healing in our lives? What we need to do first is we need to believe and we need to have faith. These two things are inseparable. Many of us want God to heal us, but we have no belief that He can, and we have no faith that He will. So we say the right things, we sing the right songs, we stand up for prayer every time, but we never see the outworking of it because there is no activation of our belief. Your responsibility and my responsibility is to believe that God wants to and can heal. Okay? That's our starting point. That God wants to heal me and that He can. Faith and belief in God is what, like I said before, turns Him on. And when we come to God with faith and we believe in Him, He is able to activate His word that is within us. So when we in our state of sickness say, God, thank you for doctors, thank you for medication, thank you for people that care for me and ice my head when I have a high fever, but in all of that, I'm going to believe you to heal my body. I'm going to look to you to bring healness and wholeness. And God, according to your word says that you spoke the word and people were healed. And so I speak health into my body. I speak well-being into my body. I refuse to accept the sickness that I'm having, accepting right now. I need to change my confession. Your confession is powerful. The Bible says faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. Where does fear come from? Fear comes from hearing your word and hearing your word again and again and again and again. I've been there, so sick. You have no faith to say anything other than, God, I'm so sick. But how about changing and saying, God, I'm so sick, but you're going to come through for me. God, I'm really, really struggling. It doesn't make sense. It's 2 years, 3 years of this. But your word says, therefore I will believe. It is our responsibility to believe in God. And in His sovereignty, He will heal when He wants to. This is something we need to understand. We live in an instantaneous generation where everything we want is at the touch of something. And so we come to church, and if God doesn't heal, He doesn't love me. Nonsense. It is absolute nonsense. Okay, if God hasn't healed you, there's no equation of whether He loves you or not. You've just got to keep pressing on. Irrespective of that. What word do you listen to when you are in need of healing? There are many words that are spoken over and into our lives. The doctor, when you go to see the doctor, oh my God, you've got a very, very serious illness. I think you need to do about 5 tests so as we can make some money off you. An MRI, a CT scan, a bone marrow test, a blood test, and that's going to cost few thousand rupees. Well, if you need to do them, do them. You've got to investigate what your sickness is so you can believe God to heal you of whatever it is. But the words that we accept, the words that you give permission to exist in your life are the words that will shape your life. When it comes to healing, we need to allow the word of God to exist. We need to give the word of God permission and not the word of a doctor, not the word of a negative talking friend, not the word, oh, you know, I had this experience, it was so bad, man, so many, okay, facts, thank you for that, but let's draw a line in the sand, God can heal me. A lot of people teach, don't hear anything negative, yeah. You can't live, that's living in a pseudo reality, okay? It's like, you know, don't see any nudity. You can't. It's all around you. You've got to train yourself. You've got to condition yourself to live in this world. Jesus never said, live in isolation. Did He say that? We need to insulate ourselves. We need to guard what comes in and what goes out of our lives. And so you need to guard with regard to your health, what people say about your health. And what you say about your health, is it in keeping with the word of God? We don't ignore the weaknesses and the brokenness of our lives, but God can restore and heal. We've learned that there is power in our words, life or death, and we need to make that choice. Choose the word of God and you choose life. Choose to focus on the opinions of man and you choose life. The Bible calls us to a standard of belief. And when we believe, we will be healed. It is as simple as that. Why do you take a Crocin when you have a headache? Sure, you got unbearable pain. But why do you take a Crocin and not a chocolate? Because you believe the capacity to heal. Correct? Therefore, you swallow it. Do you remember when you were a kid and you went to the chemist, that red medicine that was bitter, and that you'd watch the guy crushing it through that little window in the doctor's? I know they don't have doctors like that anymore. And then you can smell that acidic, vinegary thing, and it's good for you. And if your mom was kind, she'd mix it with honey. If she was just loved you, then you took it as it was. But you felt better. Why? Because you believed that that mixture would bring good health to you. The same thing with the Word of God. But the crocin has the capacity to readjust your chemicals to reduce pain. Not just what you take, because what you take must have the capacity to deliver. When we digest the Word of God in our lives, when we speak it, it has the capacity to heal. The word of man does not have the capacity to heal my body. Now, there are three ways that God heals. One is miraculously, where it's a miracle. You go, you believe, you're healed, you go home and there's no trace of anything. Wow, that is miraculous. The centurion servant, the blind people that Jesus healed, and today you hear about people that are healed of all kinds of ailments. So many people I've prayed for have just been healed instantaneously. That is miraculous. Then there is what we call the healing process, which is healing over a period of time where you believe God to bring healing into your life, and it is not instantaneous, but your continuous belief and faith brings you to a place of wholeness. And there is the other thing, which is what I refer to, is also where God heals, is where He does nothing at all. Where you've prayed, you've fasted, you've fought, you've tongue-talked, you've confessed, you've done everything, and nothing changes. Does that mean that God is not at work in your life? There are enough illustrations of people, friends you know, family members, who are very faithful, amazing men and women of God, but have gone to the grave with an illness. We don't understand always the sovereignty of God, but it is our responsibility, God, to heal. Because if we don't have that starting point, then we will never know if He will come through or not. You with me? God does not heal until we activate it in belief. Jesus' healing is holistic and complete. And there are four areas of your life you can expect God's healing word to work. The first one is the word of God heals your soul. It's about the emotions, the inner man. The traumas in life can seriously damage the emotional well-being of a person. But Jesus can fix you no matter what you've been through. James chapter 5 verse 16 says, "Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." You know, confessing your faults is one of the ways sometimes God can bring healing into your life. You don't confess your faults because you just want to confess your faults, but you confide in somebody that you can trust. Somebody who will take you to Jesus. And in that act of confession, going to the cross, not to a human being, that's why I said the person must take you to Jesus. In that act of confession, when you pray for one another, God does something miraculous. We have experienced so often in our pastoring over the years when people have come to us with things that they have hidden in their lives for years, hidden, never talked about to anybody. But when they have brought it to us in confidence, and we together with them have taken them to Jesus, healing takes place. Whereas for years they carried the secret sin in their life, the secret that they carried. But when we bring it out, not in the open, and this is what I was like, and I'm saying when you go to somebody that's trustworthy, somebody that you can confide in, that you know will take you to Jesus Christ and not make mishmash of what you've said, and you know that you will experience that healing. Another form of healing is very simple. When you and I apologize when we know somebody is hurt because of what we have done. Hello? I want you to understand the importance and the power of three simple words that say, I am sorry. Husbands and wives, friends, parents, children. Those words bring immense healing to the inner man that is hurting. It can be years that some of us carry pain. But when those words are spoken in a relationship that is challenged, it revolutionizes that relationship. And I encourage you as parents, I encourage you as friends, that whenever you know that you have failed in some way, wherever you may assume that they may be hurt, have the courage to meet the person face to face and say, I am sorry. You don't understand how liberating that is for somebody who is bound by that pain. Those three simple words. What are they? Not you are wrong. I am sorry. Powerful words that we need to learn to use. Those are words in our mouth. The acknowledgement of one's wrongdoing or confessing of one's sin can bring healing. These words spoken with sincerity and in a spirit of love can bring healing and wholeness to many healing people. There was a lady in London whose husband was from the Japanese time, whose husband was a Japanese soldier, and now she was living in London. And God put it upon her heart for her to begin a reconciliation ministry between the British soldiers that fought that war against Japan. And all she would do was to take British veterans from the UK, fly them over to Japan, and they would simply meet each other face to face. These same men who were at war with each other, these same men who were prepared to kill one another. Now, almost a generation later, she would fly them down and bring reconciliation, where they would simply say these words, I am sorry. And lives would be transformed. Hatred that was carried in the heart of a man for years because of what an English soldier may have done to his family or the trauma he experienced because of the war brought healing across nations. You with me? Psalm 147, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. John 3, verses 1 and 3, John chapter 1. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health as thy soul. So we see that the word of God heals our soul. The word of God also can heal our mind. The word of God can heal a hurting mind, a perverted mind, a corrupted mind, a distorted mind. The word of God can heal that. When we renew our thinking, when we renew our thinking in keeping with the Word of God, it changes what you believe and brings healing to your mind. So where your mind has been traumatized by negativity, where your mind has been traumatized by things that you repeat to yourself or say, when you replace that negativity with the Word of God, and where is the word of God? In your mouth. When you go to the Bible and say, no, I'm not worthless. Jesus believes that I am priceless, so much more that he died for me on the cross. When you renew those wrong thoughts about yourself, you bring healing and wholeness to your mind. The third thing that the word of God does is the word of God heals your body. Acts chapter 3, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. We see here again, Peter did not lay hands on the sick man, but instead he commanded him in the name of Jesus to rise up and... So what did the sick man have to do to walk? Yeah? But what did that belief lead to? Action. Too often, we believe, but we don't act. That's passive belief. It's like believing a chair is there for you to sit on it, but you don't sit on it. So you keep standing. I believe the chair exists. God exists. The chair has the capacity to take my weight. God has the capacity to heal me. But I don't activate my faith because I don't act, because I don't trust. That's why you don't act. When you trust, you can act. When you don't trust, you cannot act. You can believe, but not act. It's a bit like bungee jumping off a bridge somewhere. Your ankles are tied, and the guy who's just tied you up says, jump. Can you imagine that feeling? But why do you do it? Because you believe the guy who tied you up. You trust him. And because you trust him, when he's tied your feet up and he says jump, you jump. But what if you did not trust him and he said jump? Would you jump then? You wouldn't. It's the same thing with God. If we can't trust God, no matter how much belief and faith we have, we will never experience the thrill of His healing in our lives. With me. Healing is your portion. It is what Jesus went to the cross for you. The Word of God, faith in God's Word, brings healing in your life. Whose word are you going to believe? God's Word or the doctor's Word? The challenge for each one of us is to turn to God. The Word of God heals you. Let's pray.